I'd like to leave at least a few minutes for some, a few minutes of some prophetic ministry by Bobby, if you're up for that. All right. Yeah, this is. He walked in unexpectedly, so I gave him an unexpected invitation. Now we're even. All right. We have two more sermons left in the series on questions the apostles asked Jesus. And he answered them. Today, next week, will be Parable of the Sower. Pastor Arpit is going to speak on that next week. Today I'll cover the reason that the apostles asked about parables, the questions that they asked. All right. After Jesus gave the parable of the sower, this is what happened. They said this. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" So the question is, why don't you just talk in just plain language? Why coded language? Why are you doing this? Next verse. And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." This is a direct answer. You get to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. That privilege has not been given to them. This, of course, begs another question. The question is, why not? Next verse. "For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The answer to that question, if you have, you'll get more. If you don't, you lose what little you do have. Well, what does that mean? He continues on. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. If they don't hear, then what is given to them, they'll not be able to grasp. When they see, what they see will be lost. They won't be able to grasp that either. What they hear will also be lost. They won't be able to understand it. Jesus is not presenting a new concept here. He refers to a prophecy given several centuries earlier. Continuing on. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. You will hear, but not be able to understand the meaning of what you hear. You will see, but not be able to understand the meaning of what you see." Why does this happen to them? Next verse. "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." In a sense, they did it to themselves. They allowed their hearts to grow dull. If you allow your heart to grow dull, it will grow dull. They stop listening, so now they can barely hear. They close their eyes, so of course, they can't see. If you don't want to see, you won't. You use it or you lose it. If you don't want the kingdom of God for yourself, you won't get it. You will get what you want. No kingdom of God. So you will not understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Your decision becomes God's judgment on you. He will give you what you want, and in the end, you will not like it at all. In the first chapter of Romans, we read that, and we won't read it, we read that God gave a set of people this happened three times. He gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, gave them over to dishonorable passions, gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And so they became slaves to that. Remember what Pharaoh hardened his heart in his interaction with Moses. But sometimes God hardened his heart. They're mixed together because that's how it can work. Insist on your own way, and you'll get it. You may not like it, but you'll get it. In the Psalms, I missed a verse here. Let me read it to you really quickly. Psalm 81. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Insist on your own way and you'll get it. He'll turn you over to that. This can happen in other areas of life. That would make sense. Some people, maybe early on, maybe as young people, they kind of disregard what their conscience might be telling them or what they feel God might be telling them. Is that's enough alcohol. That's enough. That's enough. And no, they want to have more fun, or they come up with all kinds of reasons. I want to be more social, and they push it too far, and before you know it, they're getting what they want, and now they're slaves to the bottle. They go far enough, we call them alcoholics. And so they're getting what they want, and it becomes kind of judgment on them. They kind of gave themselves over to slavery. It happens a lot these days in pornography, more so than at any other time in history, as far as I could tell, because it's so easy to obtain pornography now with the internet. And so someone may feel, oh, you know, I'm just curious on what this is like, and start exploring, and you feel like, well, this isn't really right, but I'm going to keep it under control, and then you feel your conscience, or you feel God saying, well, that's just get out of this, just get out of this. This is a one-way trip. But no, and then some people they just get absolutely hooked on it. I think that's a primary reason why romantic relationships between male and females are down low now, is because people are getting used to images, whether it be pictures or videos, and that's what they begin to crave, and they did it to themselves. In many cases, they did it to themselves. And I can tell you, it's a powerful addiction. We don't have a name for it like alcoholism, but they have submitted themselves to something, they've bought into it, and now they are slaves to it. And it can be really hard to get unhooked from that. So it happens in other areas. The biggest application of this concept is, if you do not want to be with God, then you will get what you want. No eternal life. People that want to be with God, God's like, okay. You don't have to be with me. But there's only one other place to go. And that's a tragedy. So what to do about it? Embrace the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, this is a very simplified version, is the rule of God or the reign of God. Embrace the kingdom of God in yourself, in your own heart. Submit to God. It begins with putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the prescribed way that God set forth. He established the way. We may think, well, I can think of better ways to do that. Well, think all you want, but there's only one way, and God said it. He's God, and you and I aren't. So either we do it His way, or we don't do it at all. Seek it first, the kingdom of God, even before you seek the basic necessities of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lengthy passage where Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about what you need to eat or drink or what you need to wear. And he goes on, don't be anxious about this. And at the end of it, he says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't seek provision for the necessities of life. What he's saying is you seek this first. This is top, this is first priority, and these other things will be added to you. And good things will happen. All right, going back to Matthew chapter 12, continuing on with Jesus' answer, talking to his disciples. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. All right. How do you start seeking the kingdom of God first? Well, as I said before, receive Jesus into your own heart. Jesus embodies the kingdom of God. And we don't have time to explore that. We could spend a whole sermon easily on that. And then seek to make your heart sensitive to God's Spirit so it doesn't grow dull. So your heart heads in the other direction, becomes more sensitive instead of increasing dullness. Open your spiritual eyes and see. Open your spiritual ears and listen. Spiritual disciplines can help. Probably the two most prominent disciplines are prayer and Bible study. Someone asked a prominent Christian preacher, well, which is more important, prayer or Bible study? And the answer was, I wish I remember who said this. What's more important, prayer or Bible study? He says, well, when you breathe, what's more important, inhaling or exhaling? All right. Skipping over to Jeremiah 29, which I heard partially quoted earlier today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's our job description, to seek God with all our heart, and then he'll be found. He'll be found by you. If you sincerely seek him with all your heart, you will find him. You will find him. This is what he says. His plans for you are good. But we got to get connected to him in a vital way. And so we need to be seeking him with all our heart. You know, the disciples, the apostles, didn't always get it right. If you read the gospel, sometimes they look like the Keystone Cops or the Three Stooges, just kind of bumbling along. And what did he mean by that? And asking questions like that. They don't always come off looking so good. But you know, they were all in. They were all in. They were going to follow him and follow him and follow him, even when lots of others left, as described in John chapter 6. These guys were all in, and Jesus helped them through. Let's you and I go all in. Please rise. Lord, we do not want to be among those who have dull hearts and have eyes that can't really see spiritually and have ears that can't really hear spiritually. And so, Lord, we ask for the gift of repentance to turn away from our own way and we align fully towards you and your purposes for us, for they're good. You have good plans for us. And in our heart of hearts, that's what we really want. And so, Lord, we know that you said if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so we do that this morning. And we want to do that with the rest of our lives. If that's your prayer, if you want to do that if you want to do it now and the rest of your life, just tell them that right now. Tell them, Lord Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in. For good. Forever. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.